The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey Zed Heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Rima.
And this is the Cast of Us, episode 513.
This episode, we're going through your feedback for The Last of Us, season 1, episode 7, Left Behind.
A couple things before we get started. If you heard the main episode this week, you heard me mention a new contest. I just wanted to remind you about that. You can win Last of Us tribute posters from Kirk Manley. He really went all out on these.
Yes.
And also, he's going to do like an original sketch of an infected for the winner. And I'll repeat the details at the end. Have you seen those?
I've seen his art.
Tributes.
Yes. Oh my gosh. They're fantastic as usual. Kirk does the most amazing artwork. So that would be awesome. I want him to draw me as an infected. I want to win that.
Well, I have to do an impersonation of the characters in the show
Send
in yourself doing a scene.
No one wants to hear that.
I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be good.
Never mind. I recuse myself.
Sorry.
But I really want it.
Kirk also, I haven't shown anybody yet, and I don't think anybody knows this, so this will be news to you too, but he did the podcast art, like updated podcast art for Mandalorian, which I'm going to update today. So that
nice.
Was really cool. He kind of, you know, adapted it from one of his posters, but that's really neat.
That is awesome.
And then before we get into anything else, I was just curious what you thought of this week's episode.
I loved it. I loved it. I didn't put together like anything formal as far as like preparation, but in general, I really loved it. I loved getting to see Riley and Ellie and getting that history to their relationship. And even though we didn't get a whole lot of Ellie and Joel, the short scenes that they had just made a huge impact. Pedro Pascal is so great at just the emotions he can convey without any words. The look that he gave Ellie when he thought that that was the last time he was going to see her. Oh, gosh. I mean, just broke my heart.
And, I know.
And then when
he's like,
she,
here we go again. I lost.
Yeah.
I failed again.
He failed again. Yeah. Like
it's me dying this time.
Yeah. And, you know, knowing that they were, you know, doing really well and having some feel good feelings, they really, you know, had bonded at their time in Jackson right after their argument and such. And they're back on the road getting to the university. They had, you know, really come together. So then to see that, yeah, like you said, he's thinking, oh, God, I failed again. And that might be the last time he was going to see her. But then when she comes back and, oh God, they're holding of the hands. Oh man. I lose it every time. This show does it to me every time. So I thought it was great. I thought it was super impactful. I love seeing that relationship with Ellie and Riley, seeing this new little blossoming, you know, budding relationship, but then heartbroken to see it cut so short. Sad.
I think Lucy was saying she was happy that they didn't leave. You know, you're talking about having a couple scenes with Joel and Ellie, that they didn't leave us hanging with whether Joel survived and do a like Glenn under the dumpster kind of a thing. So she was appreciative of that.
Yeah, I am glad, even though it was a very short amount of time that we got with Ellie and Joel, I'm glad that they didn't leave us hanging. I really thought that they were going to do something similar. I mean, I think we kind of knew what to expect in that episode just from the previews being game players. But I thought, oh, wow, are they going to only focus on just that, which is okay. Yeah. But I'm really glad.
I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't.
Smart.
Yep, I agree.
We didn't really say this on the podcast last time, but it's yet another introduction of a character and then they die. It is a pattern at this point.
Yeah, I know there's...
a little bit.
Yeah, on the other feedback episodes I've been a part of, I'm certainly hearing that from everyone watching, like, oh gosh, to only be invested in these relationships and then to have them taken from us. But I really think that that really does speak to Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann and the entire team and the actors and everyone involved, that if you can be impacted so much by one character, or even more than one character, but for one episode, and you get just totally shredded, you know, that at their loss, that really speaks to their work. And I think is, you know, just speaks volumes, I think.
I mean, they're training me not to get emotionally invested. At this point, it could start off with a little puppy and I'd be like, I don't care about that puppy. Yeah, he's cute. Whatever.
It's
not going to go there.
I wish I could do that. I don't know that I can
I'm just kidding.
Have that distance and not get invested. I'm
maybe if
all
it was
in.
11 seasons of this, every single episode.
If it was maybe like The Walking Dead, like, I don't know.
I don't care. Like, I don't care about this person.
I don't care about this person.
All right, let's move on to some news.
Infected news.
I forgot to play that last time.
Love that as much as I do the one from Deadcast. So I just have one really quick item. There wasn't really a whole lot that came out since news was covered on the main episode that you guys did earlier this week. But I did notice that if anyone was interested, and you should be, because one of the great things about this series, not just the show, but from the video game, is the soundtrack and the score. So if you're interested, The Last of Us Season 1, the soundtrack is available now. It includes the score from video game composer, and I apologize in advance, I'll butcher this, Gustavo Santaolalla and David Fleming. And it also includes Nick Offerman's...
I think it's Santaolalla.
Santaolalla. Santaolalla. Okay, yeah. Then we're going to go with that. You're probably right. This also includes Nick Offerman's long, long time cover. I want it just for that alone.
Mm,
yeah.
Cool. I wonder if Craig Mazin's daughter's cover of the Depeche Mode song is on there. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. I am not sure if that they didn't list
it.
It should be available right now. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, if you're interested, and you should, because I mean the score and the soundtrack's amazing. That was one thing that was always great about the games, and they've really included a lot of that same music into the show. I don't think that's spoilery to say that.
I wonder because Gustavo Santaolalla is, you know, the composer of the game and the show, and mm-hmm. a lot of it sounds like, I don't know if the main theme that they play over the opening credits is the exact same as in the game, or did he do new versions? And with all this stuff, I imagine he probably did new versions of a lot of it, but
I don't know. I'll try to find out and report back. Yeah, I'll try to.
But look down here. I see, the Nick Offerman, David Fleming has a couple. I don't know if those are like score. I think it is score because there's a bunch of them, but most of them are Gustavo. God, there's so many. 66. Yeah, it's mostly score. I don't see anything from. Oh, that's too bad. I hope they release that somewhere.
Yeah, it was a beautiful version. I'll see if maybe she has released that somewhere. So even if it's not available on the soundtrack, it might still just be available for release. I've seen her on TikTok, so I'll see if I can see if she's posted something about that.
All right, let's move on to listener screams, snarls, and clicks.
Click, click. I'm a zombie guy.
You want to go first?
Sure. First one we have is from Bianca Vargas. Just like heaven. I'm amazed by how she carried this whole episode plus Pedro Pascal's single tear. Yeah.
That's true, huh? It was, yeah, I think Bella Ramsey said it was taxing, but it was, you know, amazing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine just, yeah, just being the single focus. Good job.
Yeah.
Well, her and Riley, who I also thought they picked just the right actress for that.
Yeah, that actress, Storm Reid, plays Gia on mm-hmm. Euphoria. I've been watching that as of late, and she's really fantastic there, too. So it was a real treat to see her in this episode.
Cool. Angie Hill Reynolds says, I'm so happy we got this part of Ellie's backstory. Why didn't Ellie ever know her parents? Did I miss the explanation in an earlier episode? We just knew that she was an orphan and that she grew up in the Fedra, you know, school. And it seemed like from her conversation with Marlene that she had never known her parents, but I'm not 100% that we know that for sure.
No, I don't know that we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey H. Lab says, a weak episode. Let's get the story moving.
I think people who are more into forward progression of plot and wanting to get somewhere, you know, there's a lot of that I've noticed as a podcaster. People just feel like it's filler, you know, you mm-hmm. hear that a lot. This is filler. And so if you're that kind of a person, then I could see why you wouldn't like this episode. Totally get it.
I get it.
Steve Barr says, very impressed with how the writers captured the nuanced way we discuss politics in 2023. I'm not sure if that's snarky. I don't really know what he means by that. We need more details, Steve.
Need a little bit of elaboration, maybe.
Yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah. Let us know. Patrick Hamburg says, enough of the flashbacks already. It only took half a brain to figure the end of this episode out less than 10 minutes in. I enjoyed the short introductory flashbacks, but when they make up the majority of the episode, sorry, not working for me.
Yeah, like that. Like, to me, it's like, okay, if you can predict the story, then it's not worth the journey of getting uh-huh. there. You know, that's what Patrick's sort of saying. And I don't feel that way at all. I enjoy just the emotional journey of it. To me, that's a beautiful thing to experience.
Well, and I really love the depth that we get for the characters. I mean, I like, you know, hearing when Ellie and Joel were having that argument, she's like, you know, hey, I lost people too. No, trying to let him know that she, you know, understands where he's coming from. Well, this is what we're getting, right? We're getting a little bit of depth to her character. Like, well, who has she lost? How has that impacted her and made her who she is, and why this relationship with Joel means so much to her? Like, how she keeps reaching out for that connection and how she doesn't want to be alone. We get history to that. And maybe that's not for everyone, but that's
more.
Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah, like on the podcast, I did a whole point about how each and every episode, there's something about Ellie that once you see this episode, you realize what a big impact Riley had on her, because it kind of informed how she acted and how she was over over time, you know, from the smallest thing to like loving that joke book. Now we know where it came from, to like, just her greatest fear of being left alone, because we know she was an orphan and now she had this traumatic experience of being left alone just a few weeks before she met Joel.
Mm-hmm.
So, but some people are like, yeah. Let's find out what happens. Which is fine. I understand. That's how some people like to, that's what they like. My turn?
Yeah.
Janice Michelle says, arg, I was on the edge this whole episode, but it was wonderful. I love the attention to every little detail. The song playing on the merry-go-round was just like Heaven by The Cure. At least I think so. You're right. It was.
Right.
What an achingly inspiring choice. That's a nice turn of phrase. The lyrics are so fitting and heartbreaking. Love, love, love. Yeah, I think I was listening. Did you listen to the official podcast this week?
I haven't had a chance yet. No.
Craig Bazin and Neil Druckmann. And they're like, yeah, we decided to have that kind of merry-go-round version of Just Like Heaven. They're like, I don't know if that would ever actually happen on a merry-go-round. This may be the coolest merry-go-round ever.
It's the most hip merry-go-round.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Nick Archer says, I was waiting for this after the reference in the beginning of episode 3, and unsurprisingly, it went above and beyond. Bella was extraordinary, an absolute powerhouse. The episode was full of so many beautiful small moments. I smiled, I cried, I found myself time traveling with a heavy heart. I'm looking forward to the podcast. Let the therapy commence.
Mark McBurney says, having only recently bought and played the remastered version with this part of the game already added, I think they did a really good job converting it on the show. But I need to take back what I said last week. This was not my favorite part of the game. So hopefully that is coming this week. Also, the wife asked me if it was the same mall they used in Fear with Morgan and Grace. I have no idea, but maybe you guys will. I don't know.
I all don't malls believe look
the same.
No, I'm pretty sure this was a set design. If I was peeking around after the show, and I didn't read the entire thing, but I do remember seeing something from the set designer that this was one of their largest pieces that they built.
Because I think on the official podcast they said they were in a one story mall, but they had to like dress it up. So I think it's a
maybe it was the dressing up part, but I know that it. Yeah, I don't think it was. I don't think it's the same.
Yeah, and the whole second story that, or when she goes in and sees it all light up, that was all digital. They had to add all that, so it was a much less cool, majestic place that they were actually in, but they really wanted to play up like mall fantasy kind of a thing, you know.
Yep.
Very, very well done, I thought.
It was.
All right, here, let's play a couple of calls. We got more calls than text message this week, which I think is actually kind of cool. So here's Elena.
Hi, Jason, Lucy, and Karen, I think. I just finished watching, and I'm destroyed, you know. I was halfway through the episode knowing that my heart was going to be ripped into shreds. I kept on pausing to see how much time was left in the episode and maybe how much time my heart had left. But I don't know. I can't. It's so good. It's, for a show, it feels so weird to say, it's so real. It just hits me. I'm sure a lot of other people who've experienced grief on a profound level. It's just, yeah. Anyway, really looking forward, as always, to hearing your thoughts on the episode. You know, I don't think I ever would have watched the show if I hadn't already been a listener to the Walking Dead cast. And I'm really so thankful that I've continued to listen and become a Patreon. I don't know. This show is just beyond what I ever imagined. Not a game player, never played a freaking game in my life. But I just love this show so much. And I want to thank you all for, destroying me emotionally. All right. This is Elena calling from Massachusetts.
Thanks, Elena, bye. You should stop watching the show. Don't. I feel bad. I should be paying you $10 a month so you won't watch it.
I'm going to start crying over that. That's impactful.
Well, I mean, I hear you, the emotion in your voice, and you mentioned grief, and so I presume that means you lost somebody, and it makes me feel like, oh, are you sure? Like, you seem to love it, so I hope that's true. I mean, I assume it is, and that you're loving it, but man, I almost feel bad.
I know. Mm. I know. But, you know, sometimes in my own personal experience anyway, sometimes, even if you're grieving and still kind of going through something like this can kind of help you through the process. It can be therapeutic. It can really help you get through and work through some feelings. So while it can be painful because you have to go through it, I find shows like this that move you that way can be helpful from my own personal experience. So
no, I think you're right. And I think people are different. Some people don't want to confront those kinds of emotions, and other people do. Mm-hmm. And some people do, but only when they're ready for it, you know. And that's the kind of person I am. Like, if I'm fresh off of being hurt by something, then I'm not going to be ready to watch something that brings up all those emotions. But if it's been a while, then I do think it is good to explore it and feel it and be open to it and let it kind of flow through you rather than like keep it all inside and everything like that. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that's where you're coming from, Elena.
I hope you're okay,
I think you,
Elena.
Are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sending that in. All right, here's Evan.
All right, so this is Evan, and here's my feedback about Last of Us Episode 7. I really, really love this show, but I was really disappointed in this episode. We didn't really have anything unexpected. You know, just knowing where we are with Joel and Ellie, and that she's bit, and that she has these abandonment issues, we didn't learn anything. And even that she got bit in the mall, we saw the zombie wake up, and we knew that was coming. So it just seemed like we were waiting and waiting. And the chemistry and the moments between Ellie and her friend just didn't seem to be there. I was really a little bored in this episode. The few things that really, really excited me is I love seeing how much excitement Ellie had, especially with something simple like the escalator, which you wouldn't normally think of. But other than that, I thought the episode was really flat and I was disappointed. I guess the other thing is I was glad that we didn't have to wait another week to find out whether or not Joel survived after getting stabbed. That would have been sort of disappointing. So I'm glad they sort of bookended that. But otherwise, not living up to the rest of the season. I think this is probably the worst episode yet. I'm still going to be watching, and I love the series. Thanks a lot. And I guess I'm not going to make a zombie sound, so.
Sounds like a little Wookiee. Evan, I don't know if you, have you called in? Because Evan's been a listener for a long time. So, and I don't remember if you ever called in before, so it's good to hear your voice. And I'm glad to get honest opinions that aren't all the same.
Yeah, even if I don't always agree, I like to at least see what other people think, and it's good to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's sort of the same thing that where if you don't learn anything, I mean, I would argue that you do, it deepens Ellie's character this episode a lot. But it doesn't really show anything new about her. It just gives more understanding about the things that we already knew, I guess. But then if you also didn't like the chemistry between the two characters, which I did, but if you didn't, then I could see it, you wouldn't like this episode. You know,
I thought they had chemistry personally. I thought they were great together. But yeah, maybe it just wasn't the episode for everyone. But I enjoyed that journey. I enjoyed getting that depth.
For sure.
And understanding where Ellie was coming from, what her life was. I know we didn't get a whole lot of it, but just getting a little bit of that, what life was like before we met her in episode one. And then what's, like you said, kind of formed her to who she is and how she reacts to the situations that we've seen her in.
And I always hope that when people who are kind of on the fence about an episode listen to the podcast, they might like it better. I've said this many times, but I usually like it better when I am finished doing the podcast, hearing what, you know, the other hosts have to say and stuff. So maybe some of the people that we're reading right now who wrote in before they heard the podcast, maybe they did end up liking it better afterwards. Who knows? Here's one more call. It's Jim from Raleigh.
Hey, y'all. This is Jim from Raleigh here to talk about Left Behind, Season 1, Episode 7 of The Last of Us. And from a former 80s mall rat, I just want to say that the set designers of this episode need to win every single award. I don't know if that mall was real, if it was an old abandoned mall, but when Ellie walked out onto that concourse and Riley flipped on the Transformers and that mall lit up in all of its decrepit glory, it brought me back to the 80s when my mom used to work at a mall, and every Saturday I would get to spend 8 glorious hours seeing all of my wonders. And let's be honest, Riley hit all the beats, right? Well, my mall was lame and didn't have a merry-go-round. Who didn't spend time in a photo booth with your best friends or your girlfriend? Who didn't, as a 14-year-old, stand in front of Victoria's Secret and just wonder?
What's the secret?
And by the way, anybody who says they didn't is a big fat liar. And but the creme de la creme of that was the arcade. No, not the escalator, although I still go up the down escalator whenever I see one. But having a bucket full of quarters at the arcade, oh, and them getting to play their favorite game. And while my putting my quarters up next wasn't for Mortal Kombat, because I don't think it was a thing then, you know, games like Centipede and Galaga and Space Invaders and Ms. Pac-Man and Dragon Slayer, when that came out, it almost blew them all apart. But just a wonderful story, of course, leading to the ultimate doom that clearly happens in every episode. So I'm going to end there. Just a beautiful, beautiful story and a beautiful, beautiful set, and it brought back so many memories. So I'm not going to leave any Zed sounds or any infected sounds. Instead, thank you. Let's put a pin in that. Peace.
So good to hear Jim from Raleigh. Jim left us a voicemail on Strange Indeed the other day for you, season 4 that we're covering. So it was really nice to hear from him over there. Thanks, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Well, he left us one on Poker Face. So new.
Well, we'll just have to encourage him to keep leaving more on Strange Indeed.
So he can beat us.
Yeah.
That was so a particularly good one. The way you described them all was pretty great.
I loved them all as a kid. And the arcade, yeah, had the same.
Yeah.
I lived my childhood at the movies or the arcade. We had an arcade right next to our tiny little movie theater in town, and I would get dumped there pretty much every weekend. So yeah, that was heaven to me.
What was your favorite game?
Ooh, don't ask me to pick a favorite. Oh gosh. Galaga was definitely one of my favorites. Yeah. And of course, classic Pac-Man.
Galaga, because then you had to try to get your ship picked up by the other ship and then shoot it without shooting your own ship. And then you got double ships.
Yeah. there were a lot. I mean, then of course, yeah, as we got into the fighting games, once Mortal Kombat came around.
Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat 2 were like the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were big. So.
But yeah, Donkey Kong was my game, and Elevator Action, those two. I played them all, but those are my.
Yeah. I was going to say, I played all of them. They were great.
And our arcade was called Tilt.
Ooh, it had a fancy. I don't think ours had a name. It was just like arcade. I was like, okay.
He mentioned Victoria's Secret. When I was a kid, it was, you couldn't tell what was inside unless you went inside. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
It was all a secret. It was just like opaque. So I never knew what was in there until they decided to reveal the secret. But I remember being curious. All right, whose turn is it?
It's me. Beth Nichols says, OMG, this is such a stressful episode. I'm not quite finished, but my heart has been beating a mile a minute since they went into that noisy mall. And poor Ellie just can't catch a break, apart from the whole immunity thing. But how brilliant is Bella Ramsey's acting? On a side note, I loved hearing the Aha song played after they showed Ellie's tape in her room. The merry-go-round was also playing an 80s song. I can't believe we've only got 2 more episodes left. I loved hearing that Aha song. It's one of my favorite 80s.
I know, me too.
Songs. So hearing that was like, oh, because they also use it in the trailer. If anyone watched the trailer from The Last of Us before the show came out, they used it in the trailer too. And I think it's also an Easter egg, which I won't talk about here. But it's an Easter egg as well.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys touched on it in the main one, but it's an Easter egg.
No.
But yeah, that was super cool and a great, just great to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my favorite 80s songs in it.
And
takes me back.
Yeah, that Aha song, Take On Me, is an 80s song. And just hearing that and knowing that when an 80s song plays, it means trouble.
Kind of
like a little tie in there.
Yeah, they keep playing them. And we're like, oh, that's so nice, until we remember, wait, it's trouble.
Yep.
And it ties into that theme, like Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann said on the podcast, you know, what we do is we like, you give people their heart's desire, but then we punish them for it, which is sadistic, but it is kind of a horror type show. And also the theme of with love comes pain, and that really ties into these nostalgic 80s songs that we love, but they spell trouble, you know. Mm-hmm. Something that you love, and it you're gonna be punished for it. That's what we got ourselves into here, folks.
Yep. We're being punished. But you like it.
Yeah, that's right. You know you like it. Susan Spaulding says, another amazing episode that makes us fall in love with a character we just met right before we lose them. I'm so heartbroken for Ellie, about to lose apparently her only friend in the world in flashback, while we also see her desperately holding on to Joel, her only friend in current time. Exactly. I love seeing the backstory of Fedra School and what life was like for orphans in the QZ. I hope Joel gets some real medical attention soon, because I don't suggest sewing up a dirty abdominal wound like that. Yeah, that's true. Need to find a little like bottle of alcohol or something.
Well, it was fun seeing her scour the cabinets and the drawers.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm back in the game.
Yeah, I know. Searching. Totally.
Yeah.
It takes something that's pretty rote in the game and makes it like frantic. Gotta find something. I guess it's like that in the game sometimes too. Please just give me the materials to make a fucking bomb.
Yes.
I need it.
Keep
now.
Keep opening empty drawers.
Like, yeah, I know. Why did they put
me.
A drawer that's empty?
Let's see. Next one is from, is it Brady?
It looks like Brady to me, but
Brady?
I don't know.
Yeah. Brady. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. Says, hello, amazing podcastica people. This is my first time writing in. Hi. I really love this episode. This was one of my favorite parts in the game, and it's probably my favorite episode so far. The actor's performance and the amazing cinematography added so much to an already wonderful story. Something I want to point out is that I had to watch the episode on a local streaming service, since we don't have HBO Max in my country, and they removed the scene of Ellie and Riley kissing, so that was kind of weird. Anyway, great episode. RIP to Riley and to Ellie's heart. If only they were in The Walking Dead, they would have just cut off their arms and lived happily ever after.
That is so dark. Yeah, that's what Lucy said in the news, that in some regions they cut that out, which is so lame.
Lame.
Yeah. That's funny. I mean, they wouldn't this makes it sound like they're completely armless, but they would have each had one arm. They wouldn't have to cut off both arms. So that's a little better. All right. That's awful. Lara Willie Swink says, oh my gosh, I was so touched by Lucy remembering our conversation from 4 years ago. And then, because Lucy had remembered something about a conversation of theirs 4 years ago, which now it was only a day ago for me, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it had to do with the Cure. And then Jason playing Pictures of You, my favorite song of all time, which was actually a perfect song for Ellie and Riley's all too brief romance. With Ellie's only memento of their night together being, no pun intended, Volume 2, and their photos from the photo booth. This was a very sweet and nostalgic episode. I honestly don't know when Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin snuck into my house to rifle through my cassette collection to pull out my favorite bands of my middle school through my early 20s. Aha, The Cure, and Pearl Jam, Get Out of My Head, Last of Us showrunters. I know, me too.
Yeah, I know she loves totally. The Cure so much.
Oh,
yeah.
I know, she does, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, they are so on point with the score, the music, the songs that they take and either using them originally or like adapting them. Like when Craig Mazin's daughter redid the Depeche Mode song. I mean, they really put so much thought into it. So I agree, yeah. Laura.
And Never Let Me Down Again, that's the song I was trying to think of the name of from Depeche Mode that Craig Mazin's daughter covered. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was ever one of my favorites of theirs. I have a few favorites of theirs, but now it is. I love it now just because of this show.
Yeah.
The playlist.
And I feel like it's everywhere. And I was watching the most recent, I think it was the most recent episode of You. It was either the one we just did or the one I watched after we recorded. So I'm sorry, but it's either episode 4 or 5. They also have that song.
Oh, really?
In that episode, I'm like,
I'm sure,
oh my gosh, this song is. Yeah, I know it's just a coincidence, but yeah. I was like, oh, it's just really weird that it was, you know, just made popular there. And it's mm-hmm. also in the current season of You. I was like, oh, it just must be a time for bringing back all the cool 80s songs, I guess. I don't know.
That's cool. Yeah. That show, by the way, I recommend watching it and listening to Strange Indeed. This season of You, it's season 4, right? Really different than what it has been before. And it's like a murder mystery and it's really fun. And I've only gotten a chance to listen to one episode of Strange Indeed so far, but it was so good. It just made me want to keep going. Just don't have time right now, but yeah.
Jijo Puthia says, I am just trying to savor each moment of this perfectly executed show. The way they use the flashbacks to fuel Ellie's motivation to stick with Joel is pure genius. And geez, shows like this make you appreciate the little things we take for granted. Brilliant writing. I love it. Also, it makes sense that we don't see clickers every episode. An encounter with one of those wild mofos means you will get bit for sure. They move too fast. If we had a clicker every episode and our heroes escaped every time, that would be superhuman and look cartoonish. Bravo on that brave choice. Masterpiece of a TV show is what The Last of Us is, and can't wait to see what happens next.
That's some good points.
Yeah, really good points.
Both of those. Taking, you know, appreciating the little things we take for granted. Very true. In fact, I was just at the mall about an hour ago to get lunch. And when I was on the escalator, I was like, this is fun.
I'm going to remember to appreciate escalators some more often.
Yeah. Thanks, Jijo. All right. Here's some more calls. Here's Robin.
Morning, y'all. It's Robin. First of all, thanks, Jason, for mentioning last week that my calls are tolerated / appreciated. I sometimes feel like I'm being a pest calling every week, and there's a lot of eye rolling when you see the call come in, but it means a lot to me. I do enjoy calling, so I appreciated that. I find myself kind of curiously unmoved by Riley's fate. I think that's because since knowing that she was going to die since episode one, I did not allow myself to get too drawn into her and too attached to her, because that would have been too painful. Even though she, what a sweetie, what a cutie, and so appealing, and obviously loved Ellie so much. She was a really good character. Ellie, on the other hand, I'm getting more and more and more drawn into and more attached. She is a wonder. Ellie is just, you know, her joy and her wonder and her passion for life is just so contagious. You know, I just really want to feel that way about life and not take things for granted like we do so much of the time. And, you know, her wonder and joy at seeing all the things in the mall that she had only dreamed of. Bella Ramsey, just really, her performance is just so stellar, so beautiful. And I was struck by the juxtaposition between the joy and wonder and beauty at the mall that she experienced and the grim grayness of her life at the federal school, even though, you know, she was going to be, could choose to be an officer and her life wasn't going to be so bad. It was still going to be pretty grim and gray. You know, it really wasn't going to be that great. I also was very struck by the juxtaposition between Ellie and Riley and Bill and Frank. That vulnerable kiss between the two couples that started their relationships, you know, the vulnerability and fear and happiness on Bella's face, same with Bill, and that sweet vulnerable kiss led to a beautiful life for Bill and Frank and led to really a not beautiful life and not long for Ellie and Riley. And that really struck me, and it really resonated with me. So it really hit me hard when they decided that they were going to, or Riley decided that they were going to live every minute and not give anything up. And whether it was a few minutes or a few hours or whatever they had left, they were not going to give that up. And that really struck me very hard. And of course, then that informs Ellie's decision to stick with Joel and find something to try to help him with. And her love for Joel, you know, keeps growing, and she doesn't want to lose him like she's lost everyone else, especially Riley. So having said that I'm unmoved by Riley's fate, I guess I really am more moved by it than I thought. I really did enjoy the episode a lot. I was hoping for more with Joel and Ellie, but I think what they gave us was really significant. And I can't wait for next week. Looking forward to the podcast, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
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 Yeah, the idea of picking option two, where they just stick it out and lose their minds together, as Riley said, it feels pretty teenagery to me. You know, romantic. I think
it's more romantic than, yeah.
In my head, well, because I think about this stuff a lot. I don't know. I think you would if you were in this world too, but I don't know, maybe not as a teenager. But anyway, what I'm getting at is I would just be afraid that if I turned into an infected, that I would be suffering. And it's even been suggested that these people actually can still think, they're just not in control of their body. Mm-hmm. So I would have chose option A, I think, you know, just because of that logistical thing. I mean, I don't want to live a life in eternal horror because I wanted to spend a couple more minutes with the person I was in love with.
Yeah, I we've probably discussed it at one time or another, just from all the coverage of The Walking Dead. And I think I've said before that I wouldn't want to be a walker. I would hope that if someone were there to help me and take care of the deed, if I wasn't able to do it myself, I would not want to end up that way. But I think it would be worse to be infected if there's that awareness to it. If you are aware of what's happening, but yet you have zero control because that cordyceps just completely takes over all of your control. So you're just basically in like this, trapped in this hell. And that sounds worse to me. So yeah, I wouldn't want that either if I had a choice.
But it was very poetic. And it's because of that that Ellie's still alive, because she had no idea of knowing that she wasn't going to turn.
Right.
It's a good thing they did that.
Yep.
All right, here's Rennie.
Another great episode this week. Craig Mazin said on the HBO podcast that he loves how small Bella Ramsey is, because when you're small, people will underestimate you all the time. And I'm 5'3", and I very much identify with that remark. And I also love what a powerhouse Ellie, the character, Bella Ramsey, the actor, both of them are, as small as Bella Ramsey is. So I'm really wondering where we're going next. Those of you who played the game know, but I sure don't. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks for the after show.
Rennie's fierce.
Yeah, I know where we're going next, and I'm not going to be on next week, and I'm jealous. I'm bummed.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Yep. We can't tell you though what it's going to be, but that's cool. Rennie keeps identifying with different facets of the show, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's Todd from New York.
Hey guys, this is Todd from New York. I thought this was a great episode this week, but it was no cheesemaker. I give it 4.2 Gax and Brains combined. I did love a few things. Like, I loved how they had Ellie go through such emotions in this episode, from being the best night of her life, being on the escalator and all time with Riley, to the worst night of her life when they got bit. And then also probably the scariest in all her scenes with Joel. I would love to see more what happened after they both got bit. Like, did Riley turn and Ellie didn't, and then Ellie had to put her down? And that answers the question from, I think, maybe the second episode where she had to shoot Brian and she said to Joel it wasn't her first. And then what happened after that? Did she seek out Marlene? And then that's how the story got started. I liked the foreshadowing where they were reading each other puns back and forth, Riley and Ellie, and then Ellie tells the one about cannibals. I like how they made it seem like sometimes you're actually watching a video game when you're watching. And lastly, I watched the DLC video, which was the video that came out, the extended part of the game that came out after season one, which this whole episode was taken from. And I liked where Ellie is wrapping Joel's wound and she uses her very well-known shirt, which kind of begs the question, did she grab it out of the rag pile? I don't know. Great show, guys. Keep it up, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Yep. I bet she did. Very Ellie thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing you just brought up is, you know, what happened. And I'm glad they didn't show what happened with Ellie and Riley after they got bitten. It was kind of better to just leave us with the image of them deciding to stick it out and not have to witness the horror. I mean, it just felt more artful that way, but then it does make you curious. And I just assume that exactly what he said, that Riley turned and Ellie had to kill her because of what she said to Joel later. But then one thing that he brought up that I thought was interesting is, did Ellie seek out Marlene? Because we know that Marlene didn't kill Ellie and then kind of took her in and, you know, thought she might be a cure, but we didn't know how they got in contact. But we do know that Riley mentioned Marlene in this episode when she talked about this woman who was old, maybe 40 or 50. So yeah, maybe, so maybe, <old. laughs> maybe Ellie sought her out, actually sought her out, you know, to try to tell her what happened or something.
To help her or something. Yeah. Agree.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever find out. All right. One more call. That's Jason from San Diego.
Hi, Podcastica. It's Jason from San Diego calling about The Last of Us Left Behind. I was fooled a bit at the beginning. I assumed that Ellie listened to Joel, went north and got caught up in another Fedra school. But once Riley was introduced, I kind of got the gist of what was happening. We were going to see the origin of her bite, and the ultimate, I guess, demise of Riley. Another beautiful episode. These guys are such great storytellers. I'm not really a gamer at all. So watching this is really leaning me towards purchasing this game and commandeering one of my kids' PlayStations. The other thing I get out of this episode is that Ellie has, I don't know how to say this, she's so layered. She's so much more than what we see. And every week, more and more gets revealed. This girl has seen a lot. But there's also this big unanswered question that I have about Marlene saying she put her in the orphanage when she was young. I want to see that. I want to see why. I get she was bit and she lived, and so now she's important that way. But she had to be important for Marlene at some point when she was a young child, younger obviously than she is now, to be put in Fedra school as an orphan. I can't come up with a reason for that, and I'd really like to get to the bottom of it in the next, I guess we only have two more episodes, so I'd like to see that. Anyway, great show, keep it up. I'll be listening. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is a great question, and really I've just been sort of thinking that is, it seems like a plot point out of another type of show where there's all these twists and you find out something wasn't the way you thought it was. And, you know, this is more of an emotional character study type of show with some horror elements. So when they said that Marlene put her in that orphanage early on, it felt like something out of Resident Evil where you find out Wesker's been messing with your life and didn't know it, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so I kind of don't like it, but it's there, so I hope we find out what happened. And maybe Marlene already had the idea that Ellie was going to be immune for some reason. Maybe she's like part of some trial or something, you know? And that's why Marlene had an eye on her, and that's why they didn't just kill her immediately. Something maybe. Like that.
Maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. I really don't know. I'm not like pretending not to know. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Here's the next message from Alicia Stout. She says, getting drunk while riding a carousel, playing a classical version of Just Like Heaven at an abandoned mall. Hell yes. I'm not a gamer, but I sense Riley will die quick and Ellie may need to kill her, making Riley one of the many people who either die or abandon Ellie. Sad face. It was so great seeing the second edition of the no pun intended book. LOL. Okay, punny joke of the week. What do you call a teacher who never farts in public? A private tutor. I would also like to point out that my daughter was a big time into American Girl as a kid, and the dolls available at that time were the same ones in the store in the mall. So
cool.
They got that detail right. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool when they get the details.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Oakes says, I'm not a game player, so I'm not sure how this fits into the game. It seems kind of weird to do this episode here, but I'm sure there are reasons. It's my least favorite episode so far, as it just seemed kind of slow. Also, I knew, from the second episode, that Ellie gets bit in the mall. I also know that Ellie said everyone that Ellie said everyone she has ever cared about has either left her or is dead from the last episode. So I knew from pretty much the beginning that the girls would be attacked from the infected and get bit. I was just waiting for it. I guess knowing it was coming kind of took something away from it for me. I did like the girls got a kiss in before the attack, but other than that, this episode just didn't land well with me. So it's my least favorite episode of the season. However, I'm looking forward to hearing how the gameplay for this section went in the game. I'm just curious how this all fit.
You know, maybe this is one reason why people like you and I actually appreciate it more, because we know pretty much every detail because of the games. And so we're more about like, okay, how are they going to get there rather than what's going to happen? You know, I mean, there are some differences, but we're not like wondering what's going to happen next. We kind of know. So we're just sort of like reveling in the details of how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a game player, you might be a little more impatient to just get the plot going or something.
Yeah.
Some people anyway.
I get it. And it probably varies. I know my daughter's best friend, who's not a gamer at all and definitely did not play this game, really, really enjoyed this episode. I think it probably maybe depends on the person and if you enjoy that journey and enjoy, you know,
that might be one factor, you know, like I think because Bob was just saying how he kind of figured out what was happening and so, or what was going to happen. So he was sort of impatient and I'm like, yeah, I know for sure what's going to happen. So I'm more just like, oh, what's it going to look like on screen? You know?
Yeah. Like well, that, and just like, how did that person, like, why do they react the way that they do like that? Like what life events has happened to that person to kind of make them who they are? And I like seeing some of that.
Me too. Okay. Erica Land says, watching the aftermath of the bite, only then did it click. Pun indeed intended. Ellie is smashing the glass cases out of fear and frustration. This internal / primal rage and aggression has been just below the surface within Ellie for a long time. I really love this episode. Storm Reed did a phenomenal job as Riley. The chemistry between her and Bella was great. I'd really like to know if there was any ad-libbing at all, because the escalator scene was super dorky and cute. Riley sure put out all the stops for the two of them to have a wonderful last night spent together. At one point, my cursor went into the time bar, and aloud I asked myself, how has it been 43 minutes already? It felt like no time at all had passed in the episode, because I was enjoying the time they were spending together as much as they were. That's a totally different kind of person than what we've been talking about, just enjoying it. Before I go, I wanted to share a punny joke I made up for my students one afternoon last week. I hope it would be Ellie approved. What is a dog's favorite part of a house? Roof. I kind of wondered about the ad-libbing to it. Did seem like a couple times so spontaneous that it felt like an ad-lib, but who knows? They might just be really good actors. I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me either. Okay. Wyman Owen says, so, knowing the title ahead of time, I had an idea of what story was going to be told, but I did not expect this. This aspect of Ellie's backstory was told brilliantly. We actually get to see parts of Ellie, We actually get to see parts of Ellie then that we are finally getting to see now. From her anger and rebellious nature to her connection to someone special and despair. I felt the sadness when Riley showed her bite. She finally let her heart feel. Then this happened. The title of this episode is so perfect. She had to leave Riley behind. But as we move our story forward, she knows she can't do that to Joel. The bond they have is beautiful. I actually didn't play this part of the game, but did watch a YouTube playthrough, so I saw the highlights. Also, this is a game adaptation, and I have bought my fair share of games, it was neat to see a GameStop store in the mall behind the carousel. I was doing better at looking at the backgrounds this episode. Didn't anyone else see the Inner Space poster in her room? And if you were to enter an old school arcade, which game do y'all seek out? Mine is NBA Jam. Endure and survive, everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I have what do you call it? Emulator on my computer. So I, for a while there, was really into it, and I look up the, what they're called, ROMs for the, all the old arcade games, and be able to play them on the computer, the mm-hmm. exact same one, right? And I just played a ton of those, but I gravitate towards the same ones I liked back then. Donkey Kong and Elevator Action, those are like my two favorites.
Yep, we always have our faves. I was always looking to go back and try to make sure no one had beat my top score.
Yep. I would either put Spy or XXX. And I didn't mean it like X-rated. I just thought it was cool. X's were cool. All right. Here's a couple of calls. Here's one from Steve Brown.
Hello, the cast of us. This is Steve, and this is for The Last of Us, Episode 7, Left Behind. Oh, yeah, there was something that nobody ever mentioned last episode. It looked like Tommy was building a gallows there. I mean, they said they don't need the jail. Maybe that's because they just execute criminals? Oh, so we're picking up right where we left off. I guess she got them to a house or some sort of building. All right, so we're getting some Ellie backstory. Nice. Get your hair caught in a tank tread? Like I think you guys talked about, there are people in Fedra that aren't dicks. This guy seems cool. Captain Kwong, I mean. Okay, what did she just show her that indicated she had joined the Fireflies? I didn't catch it. It was too quick. Sound like that guy yelled when he fell through the floor like he was still alive, but I guess he wasn't. A little hung up on the fact that they have a hole that they put kids in this Fedra camp. I knew she wasn't in that mall by herself. She said earlier in the season that she was alone. She is just so amazed by this escalator. It's great. Bella Ramsey's doing a great job of this. I just know that something bad is going to happen here, but this moment is so sweet on the carousel. Oh, the arcades in the mall. What a great wonder. I was just wondering that. How do they know how to play this Mortal Kombat game at all? Oh, and now what is this thing called, the thing that's in the wall that just woke up? Okay, so she's seen the books of puns before. Aw. Oh, and I love they don't know what screenshots are. Okay, so impromptu masquerade dance party in the mall. Oh, Ellie just got that thing in the head with her knife. Ooh, that fight was intense, man. But, okay, who got bit and where? Okay, so this is where Ellie got bit, and Riley sees it. Oh, she found needle and thread so she can sew up the wound. Well, that was fortunate, but she's still got to worry about infection, and probably not. But, hey, good episode. I'll talk to you later.
So they learned how to play Mortal Kombat 2, not only just because Riley had been there playing it already, but they knew Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann said they would read through those glossy video game magazines to learn the moves, even though they didn't think they'd ever be able to play it. The thing that Riley showed Ellie to show her that she was in the Fireflies was her gun. That's what Steve didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned Tommy was making a gallows. I didn't know that. That's like where you hang somebody, right?
Yeah. You know, that was my first thought when we saw Tommy there in Jackson, too. I don't know that that's what it is supposed to be or not. I thought maybe it was supposed to be scaffolding, maybe, because I was like, why would they have gallows? That seems very morbid. So I was leaning towards scaffolding to build something new, because we know Tommy and Joel were contractors, builders.
Right.
That they were building something new and they were using that as like a scaffolding for the big pieces.
So you think that's what it was, actually?
I'm leaning towards the positive.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think they'd show a gallows because it was supposed to be Jackson was this ideal kind of a place.
Yeah. But I don't know, is my speculation.
I don't know. All right. And here's Jaime.
Hey guys, Jaime calling on The Last of Us. This fucking show, man. these guys, they keep doing this to us where, you know, we've played the game and we know what's coming. And I think a lot of the audience has been like, oh, well, I'm just not going to care about these characters if it's just going to be death of the week. But the show was like, watch this. And then they just fucking punch us in the gut. Right. That was really good. And again, this is a testament to how well the show is made, how well it's acted, how well it's written. Where we can get attached to a character, even if we know they might not be there in 45 minutes, and feel it, man, when they go. it's great, man. Hats off to him again. This is really good. I just keep enjoying it over and over. And there's Ellie again to the rescue, getting there just in time, right? And so, but that was cool. Like, how fun was it when they were dancing around in masks and stuff? And then that was really triumphant, that the score was really good, you know, as Ellie starts sewing up Joel. And it was just really good, man. It was good to have that juxtaposition of Ellie saving Joel and looking back at that point, kind of like Joel when he couldn't save Sarah, but just like looking back saying, you know, I'm not going to leave him. We're going to fix this here. When Joel is laying there and Ellie's going to save him, how was that hand squeeze, man? That said a lot, right? I think it, for me anyway, it said a couple of things. It said, one, thank you for coming back and not leaving me. And two, you can do this. We can do this together. We're going to make it. And that's, even while he's laying there, he's trying to be reassuring. And how much do you think Sarah was going through his mind while he lay there in pain? That probably had to weigh a lot on him. And here's Ellie. She's able to save him. And he already has a ton of survivor's guilt, right? But that probably had to be really hard. And if he makes it through this, he's going to have, like, Ellie a lot to thank for. Man, that was just, again, that was really good. Thanks again, guys. I didn't have much else to say. We'll be hearing you.
I love that voicemail, Jaime. Thanks.
You know what? I didn't even notice the hand squeeze. I got to go back and watch it again now.
Oh, yeah.
After watching it twice, I didn't even see that.
Yes. It was so great. All of it.
All right. Here's Alex from Ohio.
Hi, it's Alex from Ohio. I had a lot of thoughts about this episode, so I thought it'd be easier just to call in. Mainly, I wanted to talk about the comparison between this episode and episode 3. Well, at least as many comparisons as can be made between a love story of two old grizzled men and a love story between two young teen girls. Well, anyway, similar to Bill, Ellie was dragged around to see the beauty of the world, and then eventually, at the end, she got the courage to share her true feelings. And it reminded me a lot of in episode 3 when we see Frank give that kiss to Bill and share his feelings. Also, the ending scenes of both episodes were pretty similar. Frank wanting to have the romantic ending in each other's arms, and Riley saying they could just lose their minds together all poetically. Also, I want to talk about the acting. A lot of people are saying, oh, the episode 3 is better, better acting. But I think that Storm and Bella just killed it. As a queer woman who's had a crush on people, straight friends, I really felt it in my gut, those glances that Ellie was throwing at Riley. Oh, gosh, they were just so brutal. My last note, on a more lighthearted note, did anyone else watch the post-credits material and see Neil Druckmann smiling sadistically when he described how they gave Ellie her happiest moment and then snatched it away? kind of an evil bastard move right there. Anyway, thanks for the podcast. Really been loving it. Click, 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 click.
Yes. Thank you. You get a gold star. Yeah, Neil Druckmann's got some issues, man. He's had a rough childhood.
he's working it all out in the creation of the video game in the series.
I know. I want to be a fly on the wall in his when he talks to his therapist. That's what I really liked about this episode. One of the things I like the most is we all know what it's like when we have a crush on someone, but we're afraid to say it in case we get rejected. Mm-hmm. But you know, you get close to them and you feel like, oh, is that something? Oh, wait, maybe not. Like what did that mean? Like, oh, that didn't seem good. Oh, wait, but now it seems good. Like you're just never sure, you know?
Unsure, feel like you're misinterpreting, can't quite pick up the signals and what it means. Yeah.
And oh, not gosh. Even just with teenagers, like, my whole dating life was like, but then when you find out that you both like each other, then that's pretty good.
Yes.
All right. That's it, huh? Okay. Here's a message from May Almardini, who says, I could totally relate to Ellie in this episode. I moved to Canada when I was 14, and it was my first time being to a mall in all its glory. people take escalators for granted. I was so excited to go on one, and I still have to do a little hop on and off because I'm scared to fall on or off. It's also hilarious when we have older family come to Canada and get them on an escalator for the first time. This episode highlights the importance of not giving up. If they took the easy way out, then we'd never know Ellie was immune. Yeah. I also think that's why Ellie didn't want Tess to sacrifice herself, although she was showing symptoms and didn't give up on Sam. Yeah. Because after she had that experience, who knows what would be possible. Mm-hmm. I think she relates to people who've been bit in hopes they can be like her. Riley says some people go fast, some take longer, and I wonder if Ellie feels like she might eventually turn. I also thought of when she asked Joel if it's hard to kill infected, knowing there were people once, especially if she had to kill Riley. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, there's a lot to that, yeah.
Yeah, more than we realized. I still think Joel is going to be a goner by the end of the season. Again, I hope I'm wrong. Anyone notice the details of the bite? It had the hair-like tentacles, and when the infected died, he had the hair coming out of his mouth. I did not notice that. It's creepy.
Ugh, yeah, the fungus that comes out of the mouth. Oh, gosh. It's gross.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, Jody Langridge says, probably my least favorite ep so far. Not that I didn't enjoy it. I did, and as normal, cried like a baby. However, I couldn't help thinking I just want to get back to Joel and Ellie. More so that there isn't a lot of time left in this first season to wrap up the rest of part one, and I want more with the two of them. I had a sick, anxious feeling throughout the entire thing, just waiting for things to go wrong. And of course, yelling at the TV, quiet down, you kids. That is way too loud. I did laugh out loud at Ellie amazed by the electric stairs, and the back in 5 minutes sign really tickled my funny bone. When Riley says, I got a gift for you, I'm thinking, yeah, it's the immunity idol. I haven't played the games, but watched the playthroughs a while ago for parts one and two, and I'm a little sad that I already know the storylines. It must be awesome watching with fresh eyes every week. I'm really excited for the next episode, as it's some of my favorite in the game. They have done such a wonderful job with the series, and it's fantastic. It is such a hit. Thanks so much to all of you putting so much hard work into the podcast, and I love hearing everyone's feedback, especially from the lovely peeps I met in San Fran. Just a side note, does anyone else think that when Robin phones in with her feedback, it is really Alice and Janie calling? She is her voice twin for sure.
I think it is Alice.
Yes.
And Janie. Yeah.
I think she's
just pretending.
Yep. She's pretending. She's giving us a fake name. Yep.
Oh, man. You're talking about one and two, and it just parts one and two. And part two, I loved it so much. I played it a couple times. It's a rough game, but it just makes me think about how Neil Druckmann has hinted that he wants to do a part three, and he actually has a story for it. So I presume they've got to be working on that. It's not official, but why would they not, with the big success? And he actually has a story, of course, right? What reason would they not be? That's what I think anyway. In which case, you know, hopefully if that's true, how exciting would it be to have a part Last of Us part three to be able to play through? That'd be so cool.
I don't know if I can take much more.
I want more. One more. Threes. Things come in threes.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be mad about it, but I'd really have to be in a really good emotional place. Mm-hmm. Games really emotionally wrung me out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not ready yet. Maybe another year.
Part two was rough. Part two.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, really one is rough, but two is on a whole other level. So
it really is. Yeah. But also, if and when they do a part three, or let's say they are working on it right now, I wonder if Craig Mazin is like, what's happening, Neil? And Neil's like, none of your business. This is my part. You'll find out when everybody else does, Craig.
Probably.
Or if he's like, hey, you want this to be on HBO? You're going to have to cut me in. I don't know. It's interesting. All right. Erica N. Furter says, just a few things that I loved and noticed in the episode. I loved how the episode opened. I was confused by the way the camera moved, and then I realized we were watching from Joel's perspective as he was being dragged by the horse to the house. Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that. The blood trail in the snow was extra eerie. Everything in the house was so frantic and so unnerving. I really felt Ellie's tension. Ellie's room is decorated with so many space and astronaut things. Yeah, there was like a drawing of a rocket, like a NASA rocket.
Yep.
Also love the use of music in this episode. Honestly, the season so far. Ellie was listening to All or None by Pearl Jam right before Bethany hit her. It really was such a hopeless situation for Ellie back then, and even now. Take on Me by Aha in the mall. The video shows a young man holding his hand to bring the girl into his world. Oh yeah, maybe that's connected. Was this Riley trying to bring Ellie into her world? I know this song was also in the trailer, so I know it's special to Joel and Ellie. Then, Just Like Heaven by The Cure on the Carousel was so beautiful, but also could this have been foreshadowing since it's an 80s song? I've never heard Etta James' version of I Got You, Babe, and it was really sassy and sweet. Their kiss was so sweet and genuine. Bella and Storm are such talented actors. Agreed. Loved playing Mortal Kombat 2. My favorite characters to play as were Katana, Mylena, and Jade.
Mine too.
Really? All the girls?
Oh, always the girls, yeah.
I like the guy with the sharp hat that shot lightning.
Raiden,
yeah. And of course, the Scorpion guy and Sub-Zero, both of them.
Yep.
Again, thank you, Jason, Eric, Ben, Rima, Lucy, Karen. Oh, I hope I didn't forget anyone. I think that's everyone. For all that you do. The podcast completes each episode for me. Heart. In celebration of the gift of No Pun Intended 2, I was going to leave you with a pun, but unfortunately, many mushroom puns are in spore taste. Thanks, Erica.
Oh, that's really nice. Thanks, Erica. Yeah,
love her. All right, here is a call from Jill.
Hey, Cast of Us, this is Jill. Just wanted to leave some feedback for Left Behind. Again, the show just continues to amaze me every week. I really can never find anything that I'm not pleased with. This story of Ellie and Riley was just so sweet. The love that Ellie obviously had for Riley, and the way that Riley is just trying to do everything she can to give Ellie this one perfect night before she goes away. It was just so cool to see them inside this mall. I will say that at every turn, the tension that I was feeling of some infected popping out or something like that was just keeping me on the edge of my seat. But I was also enjoying the fact that there wasn't, you know, this threat, even though it's ever present. You know, I think that's one thing the show does extremely well is the threat of the infected lurking it around every corner, because we're so used to that in prior shows we've watched. Just not having it kind of makes it even more tension building, if that makes any sense. But I just love the way they're doing that. And then obviously all it took was one, you know, to come in and ruin the night. But again, just loving all these little Easter egg type things. You know, we got to see the pun book where that came into play, and, you know, her love for Mortal Kombat, the game and the comic book when she had that discussion with Sam a few episodes ago. I just love seeing all these little things that we've seen in Ellie's journey up until this point and kind of getting to see where it came from, you know, where it originated, why it has such a special place in her heart. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Obviously, still hoping and praying Joel's okay, but I guess we shall see. Hopefully in the next episode. I can't believe there's only two left. All right, guys, talk to you soon.
Jill, I'm glad Jill's digging it.
I know, me too. Great to hear from you, Jill.
Yeah, I'm glad you're liking it so much. All right, here's Sam from Boston.
Hi there, Podcastica crew. This is Sam from Boston. I realized last time I called in, I didn't say where I was from. And I'm just calling in to just give some two cents about the latest episode, which is, I guess, Riverdale post-apocalypse. And we get to see this really beautiful love story about two queer characters. And just, oh my goodness, they're so young and innocent, even in a time that's not young and innocent. I mean, really, their lives, their childhood has been so different to at least what I have experienced and those around me have experienced. And it was just so beautiful and it was just wonderful. I think the episode is probably my least favorite, but that's more because of the video game aspects of it. And like, I'm not a video game player. I've never played The Last of Us video games. I'm not a video game player in general. So the nostalgia of that really didn't land with me. I got kind of bored, but that's a me thing. That's not a show thing. And it's still like, you know, my least favorite episode of the show is like saying my least favorite ice cream. It's ice cream. And so, I mean, it was just so amazing. Storm Reid and Bella Ramsey. I mean, these characters were phenomenal. I actually like was very nervous when they were dancing on the glass. Like, what sort of reinforced glass is that? I don't know. I was waiting for the shoe to drop because we knew she got bit during that time. And it was just so interesting to just see how this sort of works. And then I had some questions that I think, I don't know if it's just a me thing too. And I don't know if you guys can go into it because I don't know if it's spoilery or whatever, but I've never played the game or read any spoilers. So I was just left sort of thinking like just some questions of, does Marlene know that Ellie was possibly immune? Because she says in the first episode that I was the one who put you in the Fedra Academy. And I was the one who stopped them from shooting. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what it was. So she must have caught Ellie like right after this scene or a few scenes after that. And I was just confused of like, does she know Ellie's immune? Like, has she always known that? Like, I don't know. Was Ellie grown in a lab like some superhero? I'm not sure. And so like there was just a lot of questions. And then Marlene must have known who Ellie was when Riley brought her up. So it's like, why wouldn't you try to get Ellie out? Why do you want to keep her close? And I don't know. It was just really interesting for me. I just had so many questions. Also, the beauty of that scene where Ellie's just throwing a fit and Riley's sitting there silent. I mean, and the director and the writer talk about how Riley's experienced loss and Ellie never has. So Riley is connecting to that. And I think that is what's mainly missing for me. And it's not a complaint. I trust these writers and directors to give me what will fulfill me, is that we saw the fallout and the acceptance and the hope and everything, but we didn't see what came next, which is, we know Ellie's immune, but like, I don't know, does this mean Riley's immune? Like, I don't think so. Like the tone of every time they've talked about Riley or it's been brought up of like, was Riley a terrorist from episode one? It's like, I'm pretty sure she's dead. I don't know if that's a spoiler. Like, these two were not going to leave each other. So, you know, the fact that she's leaving and in episode two, Tess is like, is someone going to come looking for you? And she's like, no. So I'm pretty sure Riley's dead. But like, where is that? Where is this scene that obviously fundamentally changed this person? And I totally connect to the episode of why she's remembering that with Joel. I think that's phenomenal. Oh my gosh, her and Joel in those scenes. Just incredible. Also, I want to know what happened. What was this fundamental moment? I know it's going to break my heart, but I just kind of want to know what those next steps were that shaped this person whose greatest fear is being left alone. I have a sneaking suspicion that this is where that came from, but I don't know. Thanks, guys.
I think that we're absolutely supposed to know that Riley's dead. Mm-hmm. And they didn't show it because the same reason why they didn't, the camera didn't go into Frank and Bill's room and watch them die together.
Right. I agree.
It's just, yeah, it's just what happened, right? We don't need to know any more than we already know, which is that Ellie survived and Riley did not. And Ellie has said, everyone I ever cared about either left me or died. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty clear, right? Riley was not immune. That's, you know, that's my take on it. If Riley ends up popping up, then I'll be like, okay, I don't think I like the show as much anymore because that's cheesy. But it could happen, I suppose. We didn't see her die.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But yeah, you were kind of echoing the same thing I was saying either earlier about Marlene and why she had something to do with Ellie earlier. And does she know already that she might be immune and stuff like that? So hopefully we'll find out more about that. All right. One more call. Here is Ryan.
Hi, my name's Ryan. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to say hi. Love the show. Been listening for a long time. My clicker sound, I guess, would go something like this. Thank you.
Glad he said thank you at the end. I wonder if he was okay.
Yeah, that he didn't really turn. So thank you clarifying that you're okay.
Good. Reminds me of when I was on the set of The Walking Dead is a zombie, and you just see all these zombies just like hanging out, you know, looking at their phones or eating chili or something. Mm-hmm. Hanging out, chilling, chatting with each other. That was a great clicker sound. Good job.
Yep.
All right. We have a couple. We have one email and one call about last week's episode.
Okay. So this comes from Happy Jack from Victoria, BC. Hi, Podcastomaniacs. Sorry this is late. Things got busy in my orbit. I'm seriously loving the relationship that Joel and Ellie have developed. Their dialogue towards each other at times are downright gut-punching. Their silent fears boiling over during their confrontation in her bedroom before instantly reconciling the next morning were heart-wrenching and amazing. Joel couldn't even get the words out before Ellie tosses him her bag. Let's go. No choice to be made. They love each other now, like it or not. Her whispers of desperation to Joel as he lays unconscious with the added sadness of the outro music was next level stuff. When Kristen Crabtree wrote in and mentioned Ellie taking the watch, you guys didn't remember her taking it. I believe she was referring, yet her watching over Joel.
Oh, yeah. And I thought you meant like a wristwatch, but she's saying the watch, the night watch.
Right, and not taking his actual broken watch. He was supposed to do both watches to let her sleep, but fell asleep instead, which adds to his stress of being a failure. Cheers for now.
Yep. Oh, thanks for clearing that up. That was a very nicely worded message, especially like the part where he just says they love each other now, like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Yep.
Thanks, dude. All right, here's one more call. We had challenged people to call in using Pedro Pascal's Saturday Night Live coma voice.
Did I inspire everyone?
And yeah. And Anwen wrote in saying, challenge accepted. And I haven't listened to it yet, but here
it
is.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Can't wait. Here we go.
Hi, my name's Joel. Oh my God, I don't get what's going on. Who's everybody? Who's Maria? Is that Tommy's wife? I don't speak Spanish, but I can try. Saba, 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 saba. So I was going to not take Ellie and make Tommy take her, but she said, no way. So I took her. Then there were monkeys, and I was like, what's happening? Then some guys came and stabbed me, and I'm like, not today. And then I fell off the horse, and Ellie be like, I don't know what to do. Oh, my God. Total cliffhanger, brah.
Thank you.
Oh my God. That was the most perfect thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
I have to admit, watching this week's episode, when Ellie's there with Joel, he's laying there hurt, you know, I could not help but picture Pedro Pascal go, what's going on here? I don't even know what's going on.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't know who you are.
I love that it catches on. It's so freaking infectious. I can't stop doing it. I think people want to slap me at this point. Stop it.
Especially people who haven't even seen the video. They're like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you guys were looking at me weird. What, like, are you okay? Are you drinking something? Just burst out.
So funny.
That was great, Anwen.
Uh-huh, that was really good. All right. Thanks for writing in and calling in, everybody. We love it. Thank you.
Yes, love it. If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at thecastofus.com.
And while you're there, you can also check out our other shows like You, as I mentioned before, which Peck and Rima are covering over on Strange Indeed.
Yeah.
They split that show up into two parts like Netflix has been doing with some shows lately. So there's mm-hmm. five in the beginning and then what, four more?
Five more in part two.
So
yep.
You guys are already almost halfway done. I saw you came out with your coverage of episode four.
Yep, we'll do episode five next week. And that's the same week that the second half of season four releases with the final five episodes on March 9th, I think. Either way, it's cool. That week.
Coming soon. Mm-hmm. And we're getting going on Mandalorian. The first episode of season three came out today. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I can't wait. I think I'm going to go watch it now.
Can't right get enough Pedro like the rest of us. Yeah.
I know. He'll be like, I can't take off my mask.
Grogu.
He's like, I can bring you warm, I can bring you a cold.
If he did that, I swear I would die. We need, there's got to be like a clip of that, like a funny take
somebody
or something.
Just dubbing it in. That's not Grogu, that's Baby Yoda. Also, I haven't mentioned this enough, but we've been doing live instant reactions every Sunday night right after the episode of The Last of Us airs. Alex has been hosting those with various Zed heads. Rima, you've been on a couple of them, I think.
Yeah,
right?
A couple. Yeah, they're super fun.
And, I don't think I've been on any, but I was on the Walking Dead ones. Anyways, yeah, they're really cool if you just want to talk about it right away, because they also like interact with people who are watching live and stuff. And you can find that on our YouTube page. Just search Podcastica on YouTube and it comes up.
It's so great hearing questions and having that interaction. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have more people.
Yeah, check that out. Yeah, you just gotta, as soon as the episode's over, just go right over to YouTube and they'll be firing it up. Mm-hmm. I mentioned our contest. Here's some more details. So you can win 2 Last of Us tribute posters illustrated by Kirk Manley, plus an original sketch of an infected. That's the grand prize, all that. He's also giving out 2 runner-up prizes of 1 tribute poster each. You enter by sending in your best impersonation of any of the characters on the show. You can reenact a scene or you can give them your own dialogue. You may have a really good chance of winning if you reenact a scene, but use the voice that goes like this.
I don't know.
I'm rethinking my earlier decision.
Rima may enter after all. I'd say try to keep it around a minute or two, you know, just so we can get through them all. But, you know, whatever you're inspired to do, send it into talk@podcastica.com with the subject line Last of Us Contest. And then we'll vote on the winners. And if you enter you have to enter by Sunday, March 12th, which is the day of the finale. And then we'll announce a winner in the finale listener feedback episode sometime later that week or sometime soon after. So hopefully we get some entries in for that. That'll be cool. If only one person enters, then you get the prize no matter how bad you did. Next episode of this podcast will be The Last of Us Season 1 Episode 8, When We Are in Need, hosted by Rima, Eric, and Ben. And before we go, I'll mention this episode's made possible by Patreon supporters like Karen Cohen, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Karen. And I usually mention a perk, but I thought I would ask you this time, what do you think is the best perk of being in Patreon?
The best part for me is being a part of the group and having the community. I've said it so many times over the last 5-6 years since we've... since its inception. It's the best part for me. I've developed the best friends, lifelong friendships. And, you know, we all have common likes and interests. So that to me is everything, the community.
Yeah.
I love everyone.
Absolutely. It's been cool.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what should I do at the $10 level? I'll try a Facebook group. And it turned out to be...
It exploded.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that, and that's it. That's our show.
Thanks for listening. Don't get fit, Jim Pete.
Click, 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 click. Oh my God, I don't get what's going on. Who's everybody?